Okay, good morning. Today's class is L'nishma Yirchum Denim Galayah, Success in Yirchum Shemayim L'Sheva, M'raga Deol B'Nisheva, Emet L'Sheva, Shefer L'Sheva, Reina Malka B'Tova Basha, Yirchum Shemayim. Please share and rate the podcast, and God willing, on February 27th, 28th, we'll be in Mexico City. All right, excuse me for the past couple days, as repeats, etc. Things have been a little bit of a roller coaster. Obviously, the number one, when God tells you to be happy, that's the struggle that you're going to be. I mean, just the fact that He gives you the goal what to be, but doesn't mean it's going to come to you easily. That means you're going to get tested, and specifically tested with the energy of Amalek, which is doubt and confusion, etc. But we're here, and we are continuing. So this was supposed to be really, really Friday's class that I'm giving. Excuse the raindrops. I don't know what happened in Florida yesterday. There was a major storm. All right. So Rav Nachman says something incredible. He said, lesson 7, the second half of Likutei Moran, happens to be President's Day too. It's funny how we're talking about leadership. But there was a time where we used to have presidents. But so Rav Nachman, there was a time. There was a time. We used to remember, President's Day, wow. So today, everybody goes to work on President's Day. Yeah, except the president. Except the president. Except the president. God should help us. It goes to show you, if anything else, have you seen the outside world? It reminds you of how much surrendering you have to do, because there's no way for anybody to help you except for God. It just shows you the conditions outside. They're just showing you more and more. It's just making it easier for you to surrender. Because sometimes we have the illusion, I can control something, I can fix it. Today, more than anything, we have absolutely no ability to save ourselves if it's not God saving ourselves. So lesson 7 in Likutei Moran, Rachman says something. He says, he talks about compassion and leadership. And this class, there's so much depthness to it. But any time Rachman says, for compassion, you will lead them. In order for one to be a leader, he has to have compassion. So we're not only leading companies, we're leading people, we're also leading obviously our children. And also when you lead yourself, so Malcolm's telling you here that the real key to leadership is to have high expectations but high warmth. High expectations and high warmth is the ultimate parenting. Like the best parent has high expectations for the children, but has high warmth. That means you'll get there, but even if you have to fall down 100 times, you'll get there. Always picking them up. Also for ourselves, we also have to have our high expectations. But we also have to have self-compassion. Have compassion that when we do fall, we constantly pick ourselves up. And this is exactly what represented Moshe Rabbeinu. And you see today, it's the exact opposite, Rav Nachman says. When there's leadership without compassion, because anytime the word compassion is used, Rav Nachman uses the word dat. That means compassion without dat, it's like giving, it's enabling people. We know what happens if you have a parent that has high expectations and no warmth. That's a classic enabler. Right? Oh, come smoke in the house, do this in the house. The government will tell you if you're taking fentanyl, bring a buddy with you so you can, God forbid, the needles, so you don't have to share needles, or giving people needles, this way they don't have to share needles, but forget the fentanyl, that can drop dead in 2 minutes. That's not what's happening in America. It's not compassion, it's stupidity. It's low expectations and high warmth, which is why, we have such a dysfunctional situation right now. So the same thing with us. We have to have that combination. High expectations, that means there anything in life, there has to be a combination of chesed and gevura in life. Gevura means high expectations. You have to have discipline, but you also have to have major chesed. And if you have that combination in life, that is called teferet. And he speaks about here that it's forbidden to have compassion on people who have no dat. Okay? What does that practically mean? I cannot give compassion to somebody who, if I give them something, it's actually going to ruin them. For example, giving a kid too much milk when the kid's a baby, it could ruin them. Or giving somebody something without a vessel, ultimately, it could ruin them. So it's extremely important that there has to be the balance. And Rav Nachman tells us here that only Moshe Rabbeinu had such compassion. He was the leader of the Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu was able to sacrifice. He completely made everything. It wasn't about him. The greatness about Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the greatest, but he wasn't self-centered. And this is why you could see that this parsha of the week, his name is not even in the in the Torah this week, because obviously the situation where he says, if I say, you know, take me out of my book, so he was taken out of he was taken out this week. But the concept where we have to be is not a leadership. In order for us to lead ourselves and to lead others, we have to have a combination of dot. Because without dot, there's absolutely no awareness. You have no awareness. So this is why the today itself, the struggle today is really, really, really pursuing dot as much as possible. We spoke of already many times, how do you get dot, right? One way to give dot is by learning. Another way to get dot, believe it or not, is by screaming out to God. Screaming out prayer can actually give you an awareness. Another way to give dot, to get dot practically, is by giving dot to others. The more you give to others, the more God gives you. You know, when I'm on those two, you know, vacation in the Maldives for 2 weeks and no classes, nothing's coming new because there's nothing being put out. So it's not like I'm such a good speaker. No, if I'm putting myself in a position where I'm constantly giving classes and I'm constantly in an aggressive position, God will give it to me. God will give it to me. He'll give me the classes. He'll give me the position. But if you stop, the flow stops. Just like if you stop, you know, anything you, that's why we're wired to always give. And Rabbi Nachman's going to advise to us the extremely importance of having, this is, the class is many variables, so it. But he explains, so it's the extreme importance of having people that you speak to about spirituality, about Rabbi Nachman's teachings, about anything. Because when you speak it out, you are automatically, you'll get new intellect. You'll always get new intellect. You're always sharing knowledge. It's extremely important to be in an aggressive mindset. Find a group of friends. Find the group, constantly spread it, because the more you spread it, the more you get it. Because at the end of the day, the whole purpose of creation is to reveal consciousness in the world and to reveal that God's running the world and to give people knowledge. And he's saying, Rav Nachman Tzvi Yisrael, the main compassion is when the Jewish people, the Holy One, succumb to sin. So this is where the importance of what happens is, and this is incredible, every single time that we sin, it causes confusion. It causes confusion. That means any single time we sin, we miss the target. We become, our intellect becomes muddled, becomes you could say today is brain fog. So Rav Nachman's telling here is because he's telling us here the reason why you have to run after people to help them and to encourage them is because don't hate the player, hate the game. Okay? You ever hear that line? Don't hate the player, hate the game. The game is when the Yetzer Hara, with the evil inclination, takes over a person, that person is losing his mental faculties. He becomes confused, he becomes lost, he becomes this. How much more do we now have to take more effort in helping the person? Because he's drowning. He's drowning in confusion. He's drowning in depression. He's drowning in anxiety. That's the common example today. How much more do we have to go and help the person and give them dot? Today, what do? Oh, he's crazy, nuts, cut, etc. That's not what Moshe wrote. Moshe Rabbeinu even got to a point where he had to defend. He was defending the people. So also, our job also is to get to that point where we see the person. We see the game is the evil inclination. The person has darkness in his life, but we can't hate the player. You can't hate the player in the game. And when we hate the player, we lose the player and we lose the game also. And this is so extremely important that we should understand that when we sin, when Israel succumbs to sin, God forbid, it is a very heavy burden. It's a heavy burden because if you understand your source, right? If you understand your source, where you come from infinite light, any single time that you sin, you're creating such a blemish, a heaviness on yourself. So that makes you unfortunately lose, because if you think about it, any sin that we do is because we lose that. It's a lack of awareness. Because if you had awareness, you didn't sin. So number one, our job is to go teach people dot. It's to put ourselves in a position to dot so we don't fall in sin. But if we do fall in sin, you have to recognize it's the job of the evil inclination to confuse you and to get you depressed. This is why today, it's not the sin itself that's the worst. It's the reaction to the sin. It's how do we deal with after we fall from our energy? How do we feel? You could see most people today, after they do something wrong, they go into self-destruction. They go into complete self-destruction. It's already bad that you have this issue. Why self-destruction? Then you're hating the player and you're hating the game. Where our job is not only when we're all dealing with people, and people are not where they're supposed to be. They're depressed. They're confused. They're lost. But you have to try to give them light instead of telling them you're bad, you're etc. And that's not compassion. That's cruelty. And this is where Ramnasan adds, many people have followed their evil inclinations for years and have sinned a great deal. Since each additional sin, listen to this, what he's saying here. Each additional sin produces further mental imbalance. Yes, there's a mental imbalance every single time you sin. Of course, doctors are not going to tell you this, but there is a klipa. Depending on the type of sin that we do, there's a klipa. That's why the most important thing you should do when a person sins, very simple. No shame, no guilt. Embarrassment. Created the world, I could have done much better, and confess the sin. And then do good. Three things. And you get into yourself in a situation, you make a mistake, very simple. Number one, feel embarrassed. Feel embarrassed. Embarrassed is different, because a person who's embarrassed, all his sins are forgiven. Then you should admit it, confess it, because when we confess it, we can now take the negative permutation off our body. And then automatically do a positive action. Do a small positive action right away. Those are the three things you should do. That's anytime I do stupid things, I get myself into situations right away. Hashem, I'm embarrassed. That's part of our daily hisbodidut, the accounting. I'm sorry. I knew better. Do a positive action versus I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm a shameful. And that's what people, it's the most destructive behavior that we could do. Because at the end of the day, God wants you to check in. He doesn't want you to check out. He wants you to fix it. And we've already said that sometimes sin serves a higher purpose. Sometimes you fall into a sin because just so you can reignite yourself. Even the sin itself has sparks that have to be revealed. So bottom line is, life is always happening for our benefit. It's always in our side as long as we have the right attitude towards it, etc. And that's where you need this teaching. So Rav Nachum tells us here that if each additional sin produce, but it doesn't mean that if you have to do something to get clear. I mean, this damage does happen. It means you do get confusion. So he says each time you sin, and a person, unfortunately, each time it produces further mental imbalance. Should there not be more many, many bizarre, absolute crazy people in the world? He wrote this a while ago. Yes, there is absolutely crazy people in the world. The answer, Rav Nachum writes, imagine this, they asked him this in 1850 or 1810. Should there not be enough crazy people? He didn't see the 2024 version. Rav Nachum gives, and he says, in the true scheme of it, God has compassion. Listen to this. God has compassion on the person and allows him to be normal while he's sinning. Why? Because if he's not normal, then how could he come back to him? So even that, the amount, the heaviness, it's the real thing we should go after really, really is giving people give a dot to remove them from the heaviness of sin. Because what happens is you start losing your identity. When I was in my 20s and I was in that world, I didn't know who I was. I was so lost in darkness and confusion because of my lifestyle. I didn't even know who I was. So people, unfortunately, today you see very young guys, and crazy bad addictions, and they've lost their identity, and they've almost become females. They've almost become not females, God forbid. They became. More of a receiver. There's no light in them. There's no light. They have nothing to give to the world, and that destroys obviously the whole purpose. Because males are supposed to be the givers, and they're supposed to bring light into the world. So when a male does not bring light into the world, it just brings a disaster. It's a disaster for everybody, and the world suffers. The women suffer. Everybody suffers because they're the ones bringing chachma to the world, where women are more into the being into the world. But again, it's not. I think it's today's society, the importance of having high expectations for yourself, but extremely high warmth, that we're not supposed to. Even we just spoke about last week how after the sin of the golden calf, it's funny when you see the golden calf today, right? What do you see? You see the bull in Wall Street. You know, that's the golden calf today. That's the golden calf today. That's the money. That's my net worth is my self-worth. That's what we see today. It's funny how they brought, how did they bring it to Wall Street? Incredible. But that's where we have to be careful with this. But the most important thing is you have to recognize you have to come back strong. That is everybody's interested in the comeback. Nobody's interested in the setback. And that is one thing that Rav Nachman's teaching us always, that the dot to understand is to always have the self-love to come back and I'm sorry, confess it, and do something positive. And it's pretty much the same thing. When you imagine you're fighting with your spouse. You could say, well, I did this because you did it. Who cares why it happened? At the end of the day, if you want to get out of an argument, you want to get out of a situation, you need to apologize, you need to admit it, and you need to do a positive action. Otherwise, you're stuck in there for 5 hours. You're stuck in there a 15-to-2-week fighting for absolutely... All you're doing is who did it, who cares who did it? At the end of the day, the male has to apologize at 99 out of 10, 100 times. And just admit it and do it. And it's the same system in that. So Rav Nachman says here, so he takes that part. He talks about compassion, sin, and etc. And then he talks about each time the goal of males in this world, the goals of males in the world is to have disciples and children. Okay? Again, it's another thing that society is attacking, not having families. They don't want you to have families. They don't want you to have any kind of, you know, look at Europe, it's a disaster. Nobody's getting married there. They don't want you to have families. And the whole purpose of having children is so you can give your consciousness to the world, so you can have a legacy, so you can live your light to the world. So what we see today is that's the purpose. So we're supposed to teach our children and give them that light, give them that consciousness in the world. That's the purpose of having children. You have to have disciples, you have to have students and children. Students means the knowledge that you have, because remember, the whole point is to reveal the consciousness of godliness into the world. And the more light we have, what that light does is combats darkness. Well, the more light we put into the world, automatically darkness goes away. But if there's no light, automatically we have darkness. It works one way or the other. So we're almost like, you see how Bitcoin's producing things. You know, how do they produce Bitcoin? I think they produce it through electricity, right? So the electricity produces Bitcoin. We have to, when we study, when we grow, we produce light, and the light becomes, the world needs it, and the world, and it changes the world on a global scale. And when we don't do this, we look what happens on October 7th, when there's nothing but judgment and hate and darkness. So when we're supposed to, even the religious are not supposed to go after and blame the non-religious. They're supposed to see, look at the heaviness of their sin. How do we get them out of the sin? How do we do this together versus they're sinners? It's the wrong approach. It's Rav Nachman always said, like Chabad always says, you know, find the have to love everybody like yourself. Rav Nachman says, find the good points in everybody, even the worst person. Because like anything else in life, if you have a log that needs to be lit, you need to strike it. It's just the whole point is people need to be striking with the right things. And again, it's easier to say this when you're dealing with difficult people, but that's really the key. It's you can't blame the player, you have to blame the game. And the game is the Yetzer Hara. We all have one. We all see how our own mood changes all day long. You could see ourselves. How many times do we get happy? We get next thing you know, we're not in the greatest mood, and then we're good in the mood again. And we're like a bunch of yo-yos all day. Myself, up, down, up, down. So it's, you know, do you catch that person in the right moment, or you didn't catch him in the right moment? But you know by yourself how much our moods flows up and down in our lives. So we can't catch a person in a bad moment and say that person's bad. Moshe Rabbeinu went after them, and he knew it wasn't the real. He knew once they sinned, they had mental imbalances. This is another reason why Rabbi Arush always tells us, you have to pray for people to have mental health. Because the lack of the amount of sin that we get to, and the amount of confusion, and then all we're doing is covering it up with addictions. What are you doing? You're just creating more mental imbalance that doesn't allow a person to come to that. That doesn't allow himself to know who he is, or to know if he's the player or he's the game. So this is why Reb Nachman tells us all the time, you have to create disciples. And the most important thing is find people, teach people, do as much as you can, because the more you do this, the more that God will give you. Second, the more you talk about godliness, and the more you talk about emunah, that also reaffirms your own emunah. Understand? One thing is to say, I have faith. The next thing you say is, I'm spreading faith. There's a way difference. When I'm spreading faith, it's already inside of me. When I say I have faith, it could be a doubt whether you have it or not. But when you're already putting it out, it's already internalized. So you're actually helping yourself by helping others. And this is the reason why Reb Nachman says it's not enough just to sit by. He even told his followers, stop being old wood. Go out and makarav people. He specifically said, What are you doing? Who'd you bring lately? Reb Nachman specifically said, go after people with wealth. Go after people that are famous. Go after success. Stop being old wood. So you have to ask yourself, how many of you have brought anybody back to spirituality? How many? It's a question you need to have in yourself. How many have you brought people? How many people have you brought back? And if the answer is zero, that means there's a constipation issue there. Either you don't believe in it, or you're thinking about yourself too much. You have to be able to constantly keep the flow going. It's not about intelligence, because at the end of the day, God takes away your intelligence in a second. It's about keeping the flow, because at the end of the day, all the Torah is going to come through you, not because of you. You just have to make yourself into that vehicle, the vessel. You understand? It's not about, believe me, I never went to yeshiva. I never went to Hebrew school. I had good intentions. It came through me, and I came raw. That's it. But we can't give excuses. Oh, how could I help people if I can't help myself? It does not necessarily work like that. It doesn't necessarily, don't think because you have not mastered one subject. So talk about something you've mastered. It doesn't mean I have to be a perfect person to do this. But if you don't spread it, you're missing out pretty much on 50% of the game. You're missing out 50% of your potential because you're not going to get new merchandise. And this is why we all like going to very busy restaurants. We're not concerned if the food is fresh or not. If you have to wait a week or 2 weeks for a reservation, you don't have to worry about if the food is going to be fresh. But if nobody's at the restaurant, start looking. Yeah, you're worried about expired food. It's because the same thing. We have to put ourselves in a position to give, and then at the end of the day, God gives it to us. And this is exactly what Rav Moshe Rabbeinu, obviously the people didn't want to hear him. Didn't want to hear him, obviously, because they were emotionally disconnected. But our job is to go after people as much as possible. Again, you have to do it in a very tactical way. Use stories. Most people don't want to hear it, especially, you know, it's very hard when people are in a dark room and they've been sleeping for 10 years to say, wake up, smell the coffee, and turn on the blinds. It's too much light at one time. So you have to dress it up, Reb Nachman says, in stories. You can't tell them what to do. You have to tell them what worked for you. Or send them something that other people say. You can't say, because when people don't feel good about themselves, the last thing they want to be told is be reminded on how bad they don't feel good about themselves. So you have to be very practical in that. But in order for you to, Reb Nachman says then, but in order for you to have success in this, you have to, your fear of heaven has to outmatch your wisdom, which this is a big deal. Your fear of heaven, in order for you to have success in this concept, fear of heaven must always be greater than wisdom. That means, which is called humility. That means, if you're going to go give a speech and you have no fear of heaven, let's say you go to some reformed rabbi in some synagogue, why is nobody changing? I mean, if we had a business of growth in the reform, rabbi, you would have 0% growth. You would shut the business down. I mean, be out of business. Because there's lacking fear of heaven. There's fear of heaven is not there. It's a pulpit, it's a tradition, it's this. I hate to be so on Scorpio, but it's the truth. Why are Chabad growing where they're growing? It's because they're doing it through fear of heaven. They want you to change because they're putting on the tefillah. They're not judging you. They're putting it on. There's fear of heaven. So when there's fear of heaven, there's change. That means the speaker itself has to have fear of heaven his fear of heaven has to be greater than his wisdom. Otherwise, the words will not be heard. Versus if people are just talking and there's no fear of heaven, you don't feel their heart. You don't feel their heart. They're just reading out of a story, a puppet, etc. Those words go nowhere. And that's the danger today. The danger today, Rav Nachman says, is having the certain people that they're speaking it, but they're not only are they not helping, they're turning the people off. Because when you lack fear of heaven, it just becomes an intellectual exercise that has nothing for nobody. Does nothing for heaven. You don't get, person doesn't get any more new information. He doesn't get no new dot. The listeners don't get anything. And then God's name is not, that's why it's extremely important. You might not be on the level where you're level, but your fear of heaven always has to outdo your wisdom. We don't want to become the smart person who does nothing. However, one who wants to discuss fear of heaven, he must have fear of heaven. Obviously, how could you talk about fear of heaven if you don't have fear of heaven? How could you talk about mercy if you don't have mercy? How could you talk about that? So that's another way. Another way is with our children also. The intention has to be good. The intention has to be good. Always the intention has to be in order to bring them to wisdom. But obviously we have today with teenagers, with this, you have to be very careful because obviously of how people are engaging this. And there, this is what Rav Nachman calls makifim. Makifim are intellect. So again, we all have a certain level of consciousness above us. And our job is to internalize that consciousness and make it from external to internal. What is wisdom, basically? When the unknown becomes known. So on top of you, there's energy, there's consciousness that has not been fully revealed to you. That consciousness is there. Like, for example, me. You know, how did I get to all these 1,000 classes, 2,000? Where did all this knowledge come from? Where did it come from? It came because I put myself in a position to give it. So when you're giving, just like it's the same example, let's say you have really good intention to give charity and you have intention to become a giver. What's going to happen? God's going to give you business, and through the business, you'll give the charity. So if your intention is good, then he will just use you to do that action. All we have to really worry about is good intention. Good intention of here of heaven, the rest God does. He puts you in front of a difficult person. If your intention is good, that's why there is a great story about, I forgot the name of the rabbi, that they wanted to throw a kid out of school. They wanted to throw a kid out of school. So one of the rabbis asked him, you know, what's his mother's name? So the principal goes, well, why would I know his mother's name? He's like, you're gonna go throw a kid out of school today and you didn't pray for him? You didn't pray for him? That's the problem today. That's the problem. You're not accepted. Throwing out of school without even praying for him? Do you understand the problem with that? You're already judging the kid. You're identifying him as you're identifying the player. You're not separating the player from the game. Here, that is the wrong approach. The wrong approach is to recognize that nobody has. It's the game. It's the evil inclination. It's the consciousness in the world. It's the negative energy in the world that we're all affected by. But inside of us, we all are very, very good light. And our job is to literally help purify as many people as possible, whether through ourselves, purifying ourselves, recognizing that we are good, and purifying others and spreading the light in the world versus spreading, you know, today you go to most things, what are they spreading? Trauma. They're spreading trauma. You know, we need to spread emunah into the world. Everybody's spreading trauma. We need to spread emunah into the world. And that's really, really the key of what Moshe Rabbeinu did. He separated the person from the act. That's why he was always vigilantly begging God, you're not seeing the good in them. You're not seeing, and because of all his actions is how he invoked the 13 attributes of mercy. Because of his incredible compassion. That means he didn't judge them. He separated them. He recognized them. He put God in a position where he had to forgive them. Otherwise, what did he say? Otherwise, take me from the book. Take me away from the book. And that is what? So remember, spread as much as you can. That's the message of Rabbeinu. Spread as much knowledge as you can. Don't look at yourself, oh, I didn't do this good, I didn't do that good, how can I spread? That's not how it works. You spread it anyway. You spread it anyway. Just like Rabbi Nachman says many times, there's times where you're not going to feel like praying. There's many times you should pray anyway. Because what's going to happen, there's going to be one day where you're going to wake up with extreme good energy and extreme devotion, and you're going to push all those 25 prayers with no energy up. So that's why it's extremely important. And also, don't give up on people also. You cannot give up on people also. Even if they haven't listened, there could be one day where you get that crack, where you pierce the ego, and I've seen this myself personally. All of a sudden, it's just that crack. One positive thing, you know what? You can change a person if they do one good deed, and then you give them the advice, and then boom, you can crack them, and you can change their life. So this is extremely message that we really, really have to take all this knowledge, and we have to be more. We have to literally be lamplighters to the world. Have a great day.